our imagination, a comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show, radio. Oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Thanks, Dave, and again, welcome to Yesteryear, the best of the golden age of radio. On today's program, two examples of no doubt the finest western and the funniest comedy in the history of radio. The western, Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. And the comedy? It's none other than Jack Benny. Jack's gentle humor and mastery of broadcast techniques no doubt made him one of the most beloved entertainers in show business history. Jack's program continued on the air for some 25 straight years, and he was once voted the greatest personality in radio history. The Jack Benny Show featured one of the finest casts ever assembled for a comedy program, including Dennis Day, Eddie Rochester Anderson, Mel Blanc, and Frank Nelson, all of whom started with Jack on radio in the 1930s and continued to appear on his television series well into the 1970s. Today's program includes a special guest appearance by another great icon of the golden age of radio, Bing Crosby. Bing substitutes for Dennis Day as Jack and the gang present their own version of Bing's new autobiography. From February of 1953, it's The Life of Bing Crosby on the Jack Benny program, coming your way today from Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The Jack Benny Program. Broadcasting from the American Legion Hall in Palm Springs, California, the Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you a man who, after 1 week in Palm Springs, has become a picture of health. He was on the golf course Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday looking for the ball he lost on Monday. And here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since this is our second week...
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. Wait a minute.
Huh?
Jack, did you really lose a golf ball?
Certainly, Don. I even asked you to help me look for it all over the desert. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since this is our second week...
Well, Jack, something tells me you tricked me.
I tricked you?
Yes. As we were coming past Roger's stable, you said, Don, you'll never find the ball that way. Stoop over. I did. You threw a saddle on me, and for the rest of the day, tried to rent me out for $1.25 an hour.
He found out. I thought I was being subtle, too. You know, I can't... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hello, everybody.
Mary, why didn't you show up for rehearsal this morning?
Well, if you must know, for one thing, I was busy moving out of that hotel where you're living.
But, Mary, I've stayed in that hotel for the last 2 weeks. It may be small and crowded, but it's a lovely place.
Some lovely place. This morning, a guest bawled me off for using a roller towel.
Why?
He was sleeping in it.
Mary, it's the height of the season. People have to sleep where they can. As a matter of fact, I happen to know that last night, some people had to sleep in the police station.
Jack, that was the orchestra, and the height of the season had nothing to do with it.
Oh.
Say, Mary, you're kidding about the orchestra being arrested, aren't you?
No, I'm not, Don.
Well, for heaven's sakes, what'd they do?
I don't know about the others, but the police found Remley lying against the curb, and he hadn't put a penny in the parking meter.
Mary, stop making up jokes. Now, you know the boys in the band. Oh, hello, Bob.
Hiya, Jack. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Bob.
Well, Bob, are you still enjoying yourself here in Palm Springs?
Pretty good.
What do you mean, pretty good? You're living at one of the swankiest places in town, the El Mirador.
That's right, Bob. And you know, during the war, the El Mirador was a hospital, but it isn't anymore.
Well, I wish someone would tell the waiters.
Why?
Well, last night I ordered borscht.
Borscht? Mm-hmm. Well, didn't it taste good?
Who knows? They laid me on the table and shot it in my arm.
You're kidding.
Kidding. Look at this muscle. It's a potato.
Well, how do you like that?
Then for dessert, they gave me an anesthetic.
Well, Bob, that had nothing to do with the dinner. Everybody who lives at the El Mirador gets an anesthetic.
Yeah, but why?
That way they can give you the bill and you won't come too till you go through banning.
That explains a lot of things.
Yeah, it really explains a lot of things.
Yeah. Like what?
Well, when I drove up to the place, a bellboy came out, carried in my wallet, and left my bags in the driveway.
Sorry I took your line then, Bob. Anything happens when you do it. I take his lines, he takes somebody else's. That's because we don't rehearse, you know. Well, anyway, at the El Mirador is really one of the nicest. Come in.
Telegram for Mr. Jack Benny.
I'll take it, boy.
Hey, here you are.
Oh, just a minute, boy. Have you got change for a $5 bill?
Change for a $5? Yeah, I think so.
Good, good. Here's the $5 bill.
All right, here's your change. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, boy, you can go now.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Benny. Thank you. This is my lucky day.
Wait a minute, boy. What do you mean this is your lucky day? Mr. Benny gave you a $5 bill, and you gave him back 5 ones. What are you so happy about?
When you do business with him and break even, it ain't bad.
Of course not. Go already.
Jack, who's the telegram from?
Just a minute, I'll see. It's from Dennis Day. It says, sorry, I can't be on the program today, so I'm sending a substitute singer to take my place. The reason I am missing the program is because I'm eloping with Marilyn Monroe. However, I'm silly enough to be back with you next week. That crazy kid making up jokes for a telegram. 6 cents a word. It's ridiculous.
Say, Jack, why did he say he's sending over a substitute? I can sing.
Why, certainly, Bob. That's exactly what you're going to do. Any substitute that Dennis would send over would probably be some silly jerk who doesn't even know how to... Now, who can that be? Come in.
Jack, look who it is.
Bing Crosby. Well, Bing.
Just call me substitute.
Bing, I'm surprised, actually amazed that you're the one that's taking Dennis's place today.
Why, Jack? What's so amazing about that?
Well, let's face it. How can a kid like Dennis afford to pay a big star like you for a guest appearance?
Wait a minute, Jack. Dennis isn't paying me anything. The kid and I worked out an exchange deal.
An exchange?
Mm-hmm. I do a guest shot for him today, and he caddies for me tomorrow.
Well, Bing, I don't like to cast aspersions on your business ability, but I think Dennis got the best of you on the deal.
Uh-uh. No, he didn't, Jack. You see, tomorrow I'm playing a match with Ben Hogan at $100 a hole.
Wait a minute. You can't beat Ben Hogan. He's the best golfer in the country.
That's what I want with Dennis. He'll drive Hogan nuts.
Oh. There's some writing. I got 3 O's in there.
A little redundant, what?
You know,
I'm here.
You know my whole gang, don't you?
Oh, yes. Hi, fellas. And hello, Mary.
Hello, Bing.
Well, I guess I know everybody except... who's the fella standing over there? I'm your brother. I didn't recognize you. How are you, Robert?
I'm fine, Bing. Actually, I haven't seen you for months. In fact, not since I started working on Jack's program.
Gee, no wonder I didn't recognize you, kid. You got a lot thinner.
Now, wait a minute, Bing. If Bob lost any weight, it's not Jack's fault.
Certainly not.
Bob's working for peanuts, and peanuts are fattening.
Well, thank you, Mary. You know, Bing, it's quite a coincidence having you on the program. Only 3 weeks ago, we had your sidekick, Bob Hope, as a guest star.
Oh, really? How was old Sickle Snoot?
Sickle Snoot? Why do you call Hope that?
Well, his nose looks like a bagel with one bite out of it. I think... You think that's pretty...
It does. You know, it does at that.
Uh-huh. Say, Bing, you and Bob Hope have made an awful lot of pictures together, haven't you?
Yes, and don't hit that word awful so hard, but it just kind of glossed that. Anyway, Beagle Beak is a little mad about it now because, you know, in every picture we make, I get the girl.
Oh, is that what makes him mad?
I get the money, too.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Bing, with everything else you have, why are you so interested in money? Believe me, you can't take it with you.
They finally convinced you, huh?
Well, almost.
Say, Bing, what are you doing down here in Palm Springs?
I've been doing some broadcasts, Marion. I've been writing my autobiography.
No kidding.
Yeah, finally finished all the writing. I've titled it Call Me Lucky.
Say, Bing, the story of your life must be very interesting. Tell me about it.
Well, I was born in Tacoma, Washington, and... Oh, I tell you about it, Jack. You can read it in the Saturday Evening Post.
Oh, yes, the Saturday Evening Post, sure. That's only 15 cents.
Comes in 8 installments.
Oh, well, tell me about it.
Well, Jack, this thing starts in the February 14th edition of the Saturday Evening Post, and you can read it there.
I know, but I want to hear the whole story at once. I don't want to wait 8 weeks.
Well, all right. You see, my life story starts off with my birth in the year 1914.
1914. Mm-hmm. See, this is 1953. 14 from 53. That would make you 39. Bing, you can't be 39.
What's the matter? You got it patented or something?
No, it's just that
finders keepers.
It is not. Look, Bing, do you have a copy of your autobiography with you?
Yeah, got it all right here, just as it appears in the Post.
Well, look, I'll tell you what. Suppose I read the story while you sing your song.
Well, what makes you think he'll sing a song?
What makes you think I won't? Open up your heart and let the love shine through. Open up your heart and make my dreams come true. Why do you just hide behind it? Loosen up the chains that bind it. Open up your heart and let me in. Baby, I've been mighty lonesome. Baby, I've been mighty blue. And the reason for it all is plain to see. From the very first day I met you, you've been walking in all my dreams. It's time you gave a little thought to me. Butterfly loves the sunshine, and the pelican loves the sea, and the meadowlark loves to sing his happy song. Not one of them gets as lonesome as a lovesick bird like me, and it's all because my chickadee done me wrong. Why don't you open up your heart and let the love shine through? Open up your heart and make my dreams come true. Throw away the key that fits it. Tell them I'm the one that gets it. Open up your heart and let me in. Open up your heart and let me in.
Bingo, that was wonderful. And I just read your autobiography, and it's really interesting.
Say, Jack, I've got an idea.
What, Mary?
Well, since we've got Bing with us, why don't we dramatize his life story?
Say, that is a good idea. Look, Bing, suppose I do your life story on my show, then you can do the story of my life on your show.
Your life on a half-hour program?
Don't worry, we'll work it out. 8 installments. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a special preview of the life of Bing Crosby as it appears in the Saturday Evening Post. Oh, excuse me a minute. Hello?
I have a long-distance call from Mr. Jack Benny.
This is Jack Benny speaking. I'll take the call.
It's Collect.
Collect? Look, operator, I'm not taking any Collect call.
Just a moment. I'm sorry, Mr. Paley, but Mr. Benny said he isn't
Mr.
taking...
Mr. Paley? Oh, my goodness, operator, certainly I'll take the call.
Very well, Mr. Benny, go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
What? Rochester, you tricked me.
I had to, boss. I'm in the garage in San Bernardino, and I haven't got any money.
The garage? Something wrong with my car again? Rochester, answer me. Is there something wrong with my car?
Just a minute, boss. This is such a long story, I wrote it down.
Never mind that. Just tell me what happened.
Well, I was on my way down to Palm Springs to pick you up.
Uh-huh.
And as I was coming through Cucamonga, I was driving along the railroad tracks when suddenly I noticed the super chief was trying to pass me.
Trying to pass you?
So I accepted the challenge, put my foot down to the floor, and would you believe it, for the next 22 miles, we were side by side.
Rochester, how could you keep up with the super chief?
The mail hook had me by the back of the neck.
Well, that's one way of keeping up with it.
Yeah, we were coming along at 90 miles an hour, and then it happened.
What?
We came to a tunnel.
A tunnel? Oh, my goodness. Was the car wrecked?
Boys, if you see 4 flying saucers with hubcaps, they're yours.
That's terrible. Rochester, are you hurt?
No, I was protected by the ironing board.
Roger, you had the ironing board in the car? Why?
If you found out I was just sitting there driving, you'd be awful mad.
I would not. Anyway, before you leave the garage, find out how much it'll cost to fix my car.
Oh, I already did that. In fact, I had 2 fellas look at it, and they each gave me an estimate. The first said $17.50, and the second fellow wanted $800.
Well, that's quite a difference. $800 out of the question for fixing up my car. What'll a fella do for $17.50?
Bury it.
Bury it? Rochester, you didn't really have a wreck, did you?
Well, no, I didn't, boss.
Then why did you make up such a story?
Well, I knew I'd be late getting down to Palm Springs, so I started to make up an excuse, and it got away from me.
Well, that's ridiculous.
No, it isn't. I sold to the Saturday Evening Post in 8 installments.
All right. All right, goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
The director of your television show called, and he's already hired 700 dancing girls for your TV show next Sunday.
Rochester, I'm not having 700 dancing girls on my television show next Sunday.
Boss, you know that, and I know that, but let's lure the listeners.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Rochester. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present our dramatization of the Saturday Evening Post autobiography of Bing Crosby, Call Me Lucky. Curtain. Music.
In the city of Tacoma, Washington, the stork paid a visit to Mr. and Mrs. Harry Crosby in the year 1914, it says here. The newborn baby was called Harry Lillis Crosby. Harry Lillis was a precocious baby and learned to speak quite young. At the age of 3 months, he said,
"Duh."
At the age of 4 months, he said,
"Da, da."
At 5 months,
"Da, da, da."
And at 6 months,
"Da, da, 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 da."
The baby grew into a child of school age, and he was a good pupil, and a clever one, too. While other kids brought the teacher apples, he brought her Minute Maid orange shoes. Then at the age of 7, he received the nickname he made famous, Bing. It happened because his family lived next to a cherry orchard, and he was very fond of Bing cherries. Fortunately, he didn't live next to an orange grove, or today he might be known as Naval Crosby. At about this time, another blessed event took place in the Crosby home. The newcomer joined brothers Bing, Larry, Ted, and Everett, and he was named Robert. Bing took care of little Robert and try to teach him to talk.
Come on, Bobby. Say mama.
Dog.
Come on, Bob. Say mama.
Dog.
No, mama. Say mama.
Mama Shepovitz.
That's how it started, folks. The boys grew up and began going to high school, and Mother Crosby thought Bing was old enough to have responsibilities, so she decided to give him an allowance of $1 a week. When it came time for him to receive his first dollar, Bing said,
Mother, may I have my allowance?
Why, certainly, son. Here it is.
Oh, but Mother, I'm supposed to get $1 allowance. How come you only gave me 90 cents?
Brother Everett gets 10%.
That's how that started, folks. By now, Bing was attending high school, and one day on his way to class, he ran into his best friend, Robert Leslie Hope. Hope suggested they play hooky, which they did. They went down to the corner fruit store and swiped apples. And they went around tipping over ash cans and breaking windows. This was the start of their first picture, The Road to Reform School. But Bing went out of college. He and his brother Bob shared the same room at Gonzaga University. They shared everything. They even took their Saturday night baths together. And they enjoyed it because it gave them a chance to harmonize.
The roads are the dustiest, the winds are the gustiest, the gates are the rustiest, the pie's the crustiest, the song's the lustiest, the folks the trustiest, way back home. The trees are the sappiest, the days are the nappiest, the dogs are the yappiest, the kids the scrappiest, the jokes the snappiest, the folks the happiest, way back home. I don't know why I left the homestead. We Crosbys had such fun.
Yeah, but Bing,
we drove the neighbors crazy, they had to move. Yes, one by one. Bob was the littlest, Sister Kay the prettiest, Larry was the dumpiest, Mary Rose the plumpiest,
Bing's clothes the dingiest, Everett the stingiest.
All right. Way back home.
Soloista.
Let's light a lucky strike, that's sure a smoke I like. My folks are tearing them, and they're comparing them. Yes, it's a favorite smoke of all the smartest folk. Way back home. A lucky. He is round and firm, that's more than just a term. It's made of fine tobacco, there's 20 in a pack. No puff is ever rough, it's Lucky's we all puff. Way back home. Lucky strikes are better tasting.
What feeling?
And there are no loose ends.
That's my boy, Grease the
this
sponsor.
This is my butter and eggs, Grease, lay on. Yeah. Cleaner, fresher, smoother,
make
smoke.
Make it sound sincere.
You'll be proud to give your friend.
We folks are the happiest.
My brothers are the snappiest. Everett the daffiest.
Bob is the pappiest.
You said it.
We're happy it is true. They're all back with you.
Way back home.
When he graduated from college, Bing's ambition was to become a singer. His career really started with an audition in Los Angeles.
Your name is Harry Lewis Crosby?
Yes, sir, but most people call me Bing.
Tell me, have you made any phonograph records?
Yes, sir. I made lots of records. I made them for a company owned by Rudy Vallee, but I think he's jealous of me.
Now, how can you say Rudy was jealous? He let you make the records, didn't he?
Yeah, but he wouldn't put the holes in the middle.
like you, I'm going to give you a chance. Here, learn this song, and tomorrow night, you'll sing on a coast-to-coast radio network.
And the following night, for the first time in history, the rich baritone voice of Bing Crosby was heard as he sang...
Crunchy munchies hit the spot. From a cannon, they are shot. They will become your favorite dish. They are better than Cavilla fish.
Was on his way to success, and with fame and wealth, his interests became diversified. For instance, one day he witnessed the following scene.
I'll buy that racehorse.
That's a very good horse you're buying, Mr. Crosby.
All right, but tell me, what does he go the mile in?
Well, I don't know. He never quite made it. Well, look, Mr. Crosby, your horse can win its first race if you'll tell the jockey that's riding it to holler giddy-up and throw this little electrical switch on the saddle.
Oh, is there a battery under there?
No, it turns on his hearing aid.
But Bing could afford a stable of slow horses. He had gone into pictures. His movie career was always successful. But it became more so because of three brilliant decisions. He made Going My Way, he made Bells of St. Mary's, and he turned down The Horn Blows at Midnight. His career really reached its zenith on a night in March in 1945 when he won the Academy Award. His acceptance speech was quite modest, as he said.
I want to thank everyone who helped me win this Oscar. Even though I have supposedly reached the top as a singer, I want you to know that it's not been easy. I've had to overcome many hardships, poverty, disease, hunger, Como and Sinatra.
Yes. Bing had reached the very top, and yet his fortunes grew and grew. He had records, television, movies, radio, frozen food, inventions, cattle, and oil wells. Yes, the world was his, and I wish he'd give it back already. This is Bing's true story.
Bing, I want to thank you very much for taking Dennis Day's place on the program.
I was glad to do it, Jack.
Tell me, Bing, is Dennis really going to caddy for you when you play golf with Ben Hogan tomorrow?
That's right.
And you and Ben are playing for $100 a hole?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you mind if I join you? You know, I'd like to pick up a little extra money.
Well, what makes you think you'd win?
I can't lose. I'm going to caddy for Hogan.
Oh.
Is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsberg, George Balzer, John Packerberry, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
From February of 1953, there's the Jack Benny program with special guest star Bing Crosby. In a moment, we'll head out west to Dodge City and give a listen to Gunsmoke as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Gunsmoke grew out of a request by CBS Chairman William Paley for sort of a Philip Marlowe of the early West type program. As one of radio's first so-called adult westerns, Gunsmoke first broadcast on CBS in April of 1952. Into the role of Sheriff Matt Dillon came William Conrad. He received great support from Georgia Ellis, who played Kitty Russell, the saloon girl, Parley Bear as Deputy Chester Proudfoot, and Howard McNear as grizzled old Doc Adams. Through the 1950s, Gunsmoke alternated between Saturday and Sunday time slots until its eventual demise in June of 1961, succumbing to its own television version. From April of 1952, here's Billy the Kid. The corpse of a murder suspect is brought to Dodge City. Was he killed for the reward money? Find out next on Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad on this edition of Yesteryear.
Around Dodge City, into the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Mm-hmm. Smoke, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, the story of a man who moved with it, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Wanted for murder.
Wanted for murder.
Clay Richards.
Clay Richards.
Age 31. Height 6 feet. Eyes brown. Hair red.
Eyes brown, hair red. Hey, how'd you like me to print his picture on these notices? I got a woodcut. Well, let me show you. Ernie!
Yep.
Bet your marshal a copy of that front page. Interviewing Clay's wife yesterday, I noticed a tintype on the mantle, their wedding photograph. So, first thing you know, I snitched it.
It's very thoughtful.
Yeah, oh, I'll take it, Ernie.
Here.
And then I propped it up in front of me and carved me this woodcut. Ain't she prime? Ain't she just elegant?
Real elegant.
Good likeness, don't you think? Of course, he was 7 or 8 years younger with the tintype.
Yeah, it's a good likeness.
Got his hair short.
Doesn't show what makes a law-abiding man like him try to rob a bank. Doesn't look like a man who murdered an old cashier and a Chinese cook who just happened to be there.
Sure, sweat it over it, though.
But it's a good likeness.
Yes, sir, it is. A picture like this sure dresses up the front page, don't it?
Yeah, it's a little masterpiece, Mr. Hightower. A notable contribution to the culture of Dodge City.
Well, thank you, Marshal. Does fetch the eye, don't it? I'm printing an extra 500 copies of the weekly, and I bet I sell them all. Too bad the cashier's shot went wild. If he'd managed to kill Clay or even wing him, why, I bet I could sell 1,000 extra copies.
We must be thankful for the blessings we do receive, Mr. Hightower.
Oh, I am, Marshal, I am. Why, just before it happened yesterday afternoon, I didn't know what I was going to fill my columns with, and then, like manna from heaven, 2 murders and a bank robbery.
Attempted bank robbery, Mr. Hightower. He turned and ran before he got his hands on so much as a dollar.
Yes.
Still, as you say, like manna.
Dillon, I'm
talking business. What is it, Chester?
Well, it can wait, I guess, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, print Clay's picture on those notices, Mr. Hightower. Now, where were we?
Eyes brown, hair red.
Oh, yes. Also known as Red, Bricktop, and Sorrel. He didn't answer to no other nicknames, did he?
No, that's what they call him.
All right, then in big letters, $400 reward, dead or alive. And at the bottom, apply Matt Dillon, Marshal, Dodge City. Mm-hmm. Print 200 copies. How soon can I send Chester over for him?
This afternoon.
Good morning, Mr. Hightower. Chester.
Think those posters will do any good? Richards is probably over the line into Oklahoma or Colorado, but now that Strawberry Roan of his is the fastest in the county.
He has no money. He panicked and ran out of the bank before he got a penny. I think he'll try to get help from his wife or brother or a friend the first chance he has. Maybe tonight. I say he's around here somewhere. I'm sorry I turned on you like that, Chester.
Why, that's all right, Mr. Dillon. Out all night with a posse, no sleep, man's bound to get touchy.
No, it's not that. It's the way... It's the way people use a thing like this. The men riding posse last night, they enjoyed it as though they were hunting fox or possum. Hightower back there, he acts like it was a birthday treat specially gotten up for him. Everybody finds a way to use it. What was it you wanted to tell me?
Hmm? Oh, I got a kid, a little boy locked up in the cell. Huh? He ran away from home back in Cottonwood. Ed Slade turned him over to me when he come through on the stagecoach just now. Kid about 12 years old.
Who's is he?
Widow woman. Miss Bonnie. She runs a boarding house in Cottonwood. Ed says the kid's always running away a little while, I guess. He flagged Ed for a ride on the road halfway between there and here. Soon as Ed seen him stand there with his bundle on his shoulder, he knowed what he was up to. So he told the kid he'd help him and then turn him over to us when he got here.
All right, we'll send a telegram to the mother to come fetch him. Well, come on in, Chester, and shut the door.
Mr. Dillon?
You're letting in every horse fly in Kansas.
Mr. Dillon, I think you better cancel the order for them notices.
What?
The Dutchman's coming up the street, and he's leading a Strawberry Roan, and Clay Richards is draped across his back.
Like a sack of wheat across a saddle. Last time I saw him, 2 days ago, he was standing at the bar laughing his head off. A sack of wheat across the saddle.
No, sirree.
and followed by half the saloon bums and loafers in town. All right, Chester, make them keep back.
All right, now stand back, you fellas. Come on, now, back. Stand back.
Ziegler. How'd it happen, Ziegler?
My goat, my old Billy goat, he pushes open the fence last night and runs away.
Forget your goat. What about Clay?
Guy, I tell you, this morning I go to look for the goat. I walk here, there. Near the river, I see Clay. He sits there. I say, hello, Clay. The gate.
And you dirty Dutchman. You no good dog. Clay was your best friend. He helped you buy your farm, so you kill him.
All right, all of you. Keep back, everybody.
Clay? Me? No, no. My brother, he was like... We was in the war together. Peter, listen.
You killed him for the war.
Not so. I killed nobody. Not since Gettysburg. Clay is dead already when I find him. I don't even own a pistol.
Ziegler, inside, quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Chester, give me a hand with Clay.
All right, all of you. Listen up.
I will not tolerate a disturbance. You know me.
I got him, Chester. Take his leg.
All right, kick the door shut.
Marshal, I don't kill Clay.
On this table, Chester. What'd you do with Clay's gun? His holster's empty.
Gun? Clay's? I ain't got it. I don't even own one.
Chester, see if it slipped out.
His holster was empty coming up the street. First thing I noticed. Maybe it's over on the...
Another customer? Oh, that's three in less than a day. Oh, bountiful harvest. My fees this month will keep me in luxury. In luxury.
Doc, I want to have an inquest as soon as possible.
Well, as soon as I finish the autopsy. Shouldn't take long with the practice I've had this week, huh? No. Late afternoon, all right with you? I'll take him up to my office right now. No, thank you, Chester. I can carry him all by myself here. You just open the door there like a good fella. Marshal, tell the city fathers I'd like to make a deal when the corpses are as famous as this one. Back in 53 in San Francisco, a fella I knew earned a fortune exhibiting the head of Joaquin Murrieta. Tell him if they'll let me keep the remains, I'll do the autopsies for nothing.
Shut the door, Chester. Ziegler, where is it you met Clay on the river?
By the fort. This side by the fort.
Ride out there, Chester, and see if you can find Clay's gun. Maybe he dropped it when he was shot.
I did not shoot Clay.
Sure.
I did not. I had no reason to. I did not. I did not.
Now, you listen to me. Maybe you think Dodge has got so big I don't know about everything that goes on here. Well, if you do, you're wrong. If you think I don't know about the bank having an overdue mortgage on your farm, you're wrong. $400 is reason enough for a struggling farmer like you.
No. Could not do such a thing. I am a human being.
To a peace officer, Ziegler, that's enough grounds for suspicion. But whether you did it or not, we decided at your trial. In the meantime, you just stop yammering about it.
Trial? Me?
Even when I shoot somebody, I stand trial. If they find it's justifiable homicide, and they probably will, Clay being a wanted man, then they'll let you off. And if not...
Please, I am permitted to go now.
Go. Are you crazy?
I found the stock. I must look after
it. You sit right down. You want to be lynched? You're trying to get yourself murdered? Have you forgotten about Clay's brother, Adam?
Adam would not believe I shot him.
What difference does it make whether he believes it or not? His brother's been killed. Everybody's looking to him to do something about it, and he knows it. You want me to guess where he is right this minute? He's in one of them saloons lapping up courage to come in here and ask me to give you to him for a present. You want to know who's with him? Ever loafer, ever bum, ever slob in town. Slapping him on the back and telling him what a shame it is. Egging him on to kill you so that they can have some excitement and some fun. Maybe you deserve killing, but it's my job to uphold the law, and I'm not letting you out of here.
You might spend
your time trying to think up a better story. That is, if you intend to stay in this town. All right, now think back. Didn't Clay go for his gun before you shot him?
I tell you, I didn't. If I'm not under arrest, you have no right to keep me here. I got to look after my farm. I go.
All right, Chester, lock him up.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. Come on now, Ziegler. Step out, sonny. This cage is bespoke.
Who's in there, Chester?
That little old runaway from Cottonwood.
Oh. Yeah. Come over here, son.
Come over here to me.
I know who you are.
You do, do you?
You bet. You're Matt Dillon.
I'm guilty.
I knowed you right off. You just pointed out to me one day back home. Filler says you was the fastest gun thrower in Kansas.
Wyatt Earp wouldn't be awful interested to hear that, I'm afraid.
Filler says you was faster than Older. Faster than Wild Bill Hickok and Hayes City and Fat Masterson or any of them. How many fellas have you killed?
You don't keep score, son. It's something you try to forget.
Not me. Someday I'll be famous like you, and for every filler I kill, I'll put a notch on my gun. People see those notches, and they'll know they better not try.
Why'd you run away from home, bub? Don't you know your mother's likely to worry about you?
Oh, she won't worry. She's too busy working. You ain't gonna make me go back, are you? You wouldn't do that, would you?
Well...
because it wouldn't stop me for long. I'd only run away again.
Oh, where are you off to in such a sweat?
Oh, Texas, California, Mexico. Fella can accomplish things there, not like living in old Cottonwood. If you let me go, someday when I'm famous, you can tell people you helped get me started.
Well, that's a pretty strong inducement. I'll have to think about it for a while. And look, while I'm making up my mind, I want you to give me your word. Word of a man who'll be famous someday that he won't try to run away from me. Otherwise, I'll have to have Chester lock you up again.
I'll shake on that.
Good, good. Chester, I want you to go look for Clay's gun.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
And on the way, stop off and send that telegram. You know?
Hmm? Oh, that telegram. Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Where's Ziegler?
It's all right, Chester. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Where's that murdering dog? Oh, there you are. You
not a single step further, Adam.
I want him, Dillon. He murdered Clay, shot him down without giving him a chance.
How do you know?
Because Clay wouldn't have let anyone catch him off guard except a friend. A friend. Now, Dillon, give me that Dutchman.
Try to take him.
Just like that?
It's like that.
And it's true what the fellas say. You made a deal with the Dutchman to give him the reward and protect him if he'd kill Clay for you.
That was the deal, was it?
Yeah.
The fellas say why I'd make such a deal?
Dillon, it ain't no longer a secret around town that you and Francie warned each other. But Clay was in the way. You had him killed so you could get his wife. Do you deny it?
No. No. Serve as well as any other crazy story to work you up.
You think you're safe behind that star, don't you? Well, Clay have friends, lots of them. I'm coming back with them friends, and we'll get the Dutchman and you and anyone else who tries to stop us.
All right, Adam. I'll be waiting.
Yeah. You wait.
Whew. I almost seen something pretty just then, didn't I, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, almost. About another pint of whiskey ought to do it.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment, but first...
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Here's the second act of Gunsmoke.
Son?
You say something, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, open that drawer in front of you there. You'll find a small bottle of oil in there. No, the one to the right. Yeah, that's it. Now, bring a little brush, too, huh?
Here it is.
Thanks, bub.
It's a right nice gun you have.
Yeah, it's not bad, but a little stiff. Just a little stiff.
Don't it have a trigger? I never seen no gun without a trigger before.
Oh, you remove a trigger or tie it back against a guard. And all you have to do is thumb a hammer. Hey, like that. It's faster. Yeah, that's better now.
Remove the trigger. I'll remember that.
What in the world for?
Well, I remember everything you told me. About the Texas holster and the spring holster and the double roll and filing off the sight.
It's just me, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, any luck, Chester?
No, sir, not any.
I went to the store first and asked Mr. Denton what kind of ammunition Clay Richards used to buy, and he told me Clay had a double action 44. I scarred that riverbank a half mile each way from the ford, and not a sign of it.
Yeah.
I got that telegram off. You know who ought to be here pretty soon. Only 7-8 miles from...
It's a fire in town?
Funeral services for Mr. Grinnell, the cashier.
So soon?
It's awful hot weather.
Yeah. Any of your guns need oiling? Just...
I don't think so.
You sure? When Adam left, he said he'd be coming back with some friends.
I know. I stopped at the Olifaganda just now to rinse out my mouth. Adam was there talking mighty ugly and mighty big. He's got a sizable following.
Yeah. When do you think?
Any minute now, Mr. Dillon. Want me to take Bob out of here to one of the hotels, maybe?
I want to see
him. I think he'll be safer here, Chester, behind stone walls and dodging about the streets rubbernecking.
You keep your head down, sonny. You hear? There's a...
Matt, I gotta talk to you.
She ought to be in mourning. If she cared for Clay at all anymore, she ought to be in black.
Matt.
Oh, Lord, I find her more beautiful all the time.
Matt, have you heard what they're saying?
What are they saying, Francie?
That you and me... That you made Pete Ziegler kill him because of...
I'm sorry that got back to you, Francie.
It's all over Dodge. Adam almost strangled me before they dragged him off.
Francie, I didn't shoot Clay. Francie, I beg you, believe me. That was the...
Shut up, Ziegler. Shut up, or I'll pump you to death! Francie, is just one of those crazy stories. They needed one and they made one up.
But, Matt, everyone believes it. On my way down here, people were pointing, whispering... Old women clucking their tongues at me. They believe that...
They'll forget it as soon as this is over. They'll remember that even if we once did go with each other, it was finished and done with even before the war ended, before you even met Clay.
No, they won't forget it. For the rest of my life, as long as I stay here...
Hold it a minute, Francie. Yeah, Doc, what is it?
Am I interrupting?
What is it, Doc?
Autopsy's finished. I examined his liver and lights as...
This is Mrs. Richards, Doc.
Oh, I beg your pardon, ma'am. I'm sure I meant no disrespect for the departed.
Well,
Clay was shot all right, but from the nature of the wound and the coagulation of the blood, I'd say it happened sometime yesterday. I'd say the cashier's bullet didn't go wild after all.
How could a dead man gallop away?
Well, the wound wasn't what killed Clay. The ball hit the rib case and bounced off. .22 caliber it was. And what did kill him was the stab in the back, right through the spine. Inflicted sometime this morning. Now, near as I can judge by a small blade, two or three inches long. It could have been a Barlow knife.
Thanks, Doc.
Please accept my condolences, Mr. Richard. You call the inquest anytime you're ready, Marshal.
Chester, close the door.
You see, I didn't do it. I didn't shoot him.
All right, then you stabbed him, maybe. You said you never carried a gun. Look, Francie, go home and give matters a chance to simmer
Matt,
down.
I'm going to ask you something.
Yeah?
Turn Pete Ziegler out into the street.
What? Francie, they're itching to get their hands on him.
Let him have him. It'll prove that story's a lie, that you didn't make a deal with him. Please, Matt, I have to live here. Tell me, I have to live here. Matt. Don't look at me like that.
Go home, Francie. Go home or leave town or hang yourself or anything you like. Just go away. Away. Right now.
I bought me a bottle at the Alapagans, Mr. Dillon. Would you care for a drink?
No.
Guess the funeral's over.
There'll be others.
Funny. Now I miss that bell. Awful quiet, ain't it? It's just what...
Just about on schedule. Are you ready, Chester?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
I'd use a shotgun if I were you. It's more effective when there's a mob to be dealt with.
Oh, yes, sir, I aim to.
Ziegler, and you too, son. If trouble starts, lie down flat on the floor and keep your head down all the time. Don't gawk to see what's happening. You understand me?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
All right.
Dillon! Come out, Dillon!
Chester, I want you to stand here in the doorway after I go out, where you can cover the back door and me at the same time.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
All right, Chester. Open the door.
Come on out.
It's my duty to warn all of you that you're in the breach of the peace. I've sworn to uphold the law. I've killed men in order to do it, and I'm prepared to do so again.
Give us a Dutchman, Dylan.
I ask you to be sensible and to leave quietly. But if you refuse to listen to reason, if you insist upon being fools, if you've already decided to act like wolves instead of humans, then there's nothing I can say to make you change your minds.
A Dutchman.
All right, you want Peter Ziegler? Well, he's not more than 20 feet behind me, so come on and get him, any of you. One at a time or all at once. Come on. Which one of you wants to die first? You? You? You let him? Well, what do you say, Adam? You let him here. Don't let this star on my coat stop you. Come on. There, I'm not wearing it now. Well, come on, draw, Adam, draw.
You all right, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah. Get his gun.
Man alive, I couldn't even see your hand move.
Marshal! Oh, don't tell me. Don't tell
me. Doc, you make one single funny remark and I'll knock you down. You just take him to your office and get to work.
Well, I never do mean to offend, Marshal. In my line of work, well, bodies, they're just so much lumber.
Make all the jokes about them you please, but not to me and not in my hearing. In my line of work, there's nothing humorous about death. Give him a hand, Chester.
No, I can handle the marshal. Thank you.
Just the same.
Can you direct me to the marshal's office?
Yes, ma'am, right here. I'm Marshal Dillon.
Well, I left Cottonwood as soon as I got your telegram. I'm Miss Bonnie. Where's my boy?
Oh, we have him, ma'am, safe and sound. Here, let me help you down.
Thank you.
Hitch that horse, Chester. Right this way, ma'am.
Oh, I'm so sorry he put you in all that trouble, Marshal. The truth of the matter is he's a wild one, and no mistake. Takes after his father, one scrape after another.
He was no trouble at all. I enjoy children. I like to have them around. Bub, your ma's here. Son? Chester, where's the boy? Did you let him slip past you?
No, sir, Mr. Dillon. He never got past me. Look, the back door's open.
He seen me and he hightailed it, the devil.
We'll round him up for you, ma'am. Don't worry.
Oh, I don't know why I bother hauling him back. If he's run away once, he's run away 1,000 times. This time he ran because I wouldn't buy him a gun. He wanted a real one. That boy's just gun crazy, I swear. Got him a nice Barlow knife instead.
Barlow
knife. I reckon it didn't signify, and off he runs.
Barlow knife?
A kid. Chester, find that kid.
Marshal, has he done something bad with it? Told him to use it careful. He promised he'd use it careful.
Never mind, Chester. He's got Clay's strawberry roan. We'd never catch up to him.
Oh, I try to bring him up right. I tell him to be good, but he don't listen. He just don't listen.
Now, calm yourself, ma'am. Just calm yourself.
Here's his little bundle, Mr. Dillon.
What? Yeah, give it to me. That's pretty heavy. Here, you're better at knots than I am. Open it, will you?
From the moment he was born, he's been nothing but tribulation to me.
Now, please, ma'am. What's he got in it, Chester?
A shirt, stockings, piece of sausage, and this.
44 double action.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. That's Clay's gun. Sonny didn't manage to keep it long, did he?
Well, if he wants a gun that bad, he's bound to get hold of another one somewhere, somehow. Chester, call Mr. Hightower over.
Hey, Mr. Hightower.
Oh.
Come on over. Mr. Dillon wants you.
Marshal, could I have please a drink of water?
What? Oh, Ziegler, I forgot all about you. Chester, where are the keys?
Yeah, right there on the desk.
There we are. It'll be safe for you to go home now.
I can go back by the farm.
Yeah, that's right. I'll send for you for the trial.
Oh, Dankeschön. Dankeschön.
Watch where you're going, you dumb...
Excuse me.
Yes, Marshal.
Mr. Hightower, it appears that we can do business after all. Get some paper and a pencil. I want some notices printed.
Fire away.
Wanted for murder.
Wanted for murder.
What's the boy's name?
Bonnie. William Bonnie.
William Bonnie.
William Bonnie.
Age 12.
Height about 5 feet. Hair light, eyes blue. I don't suppose he's known by any other name.
No. Everybody just called him Billy. Or the kid.
Also known as Billy. The kid.
From April of 1952, it's been Gunsmoke, featuring William Conrad in Billy the Kid. And with that, we're out of time once again for this edition of Yesteryear. But we promise to return again next week at this time, and hope you and perhaps a friend or two that you invite will join us as well for more of the best of the golden age of radio right here on Yesteryear. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination.